Channel open. Welcome back to Weekly Trek, a proud member of the Tricorder Transmissions podcast network and presented in partnership with TrekCore.com. I am your host, Alex Perry.
What's today's date? The date.
Today's show was recorded on October 14th, 2022, and is current through the Star Trek Lower Decks episode Crisis Point 2, Paradoxus. So beware of spoilers. All right, let's get into the show.
Good day, Voyager, and welcome to A Briefing with Neelix. It's a catchy title, isn't it?
Weekly Trek is a regular news show covering the biggest stories from the Star Trek franchise. We are in a new golden age of Star Trek. There are 5 television shows in production, possibly more on the way, and enough merchandise to fill the Bajoran wormhole. So stick with me, and I'll help you sort the real facts from a lot of the Dominion propaganda that you'll find online. But I can't do this alone, and my guest this week is returning guest, TrekCore's own, co-host of the Snap Trek podcast, and for this week only, the Weekly Trek New York Comic Con correspondent, it's Jen Tift. Jen, welcome back to Weekly Trek.
Thanks, Alex. It's great to be here. Appreciate it.
All right, Jen. Well, you know the drill. I want to know what's got you excited about Star Trek at the moment. What's got you moving at Warp 10?
Well, like you mentioned, I was at New York Comic Con. So
yes,
a lot of stuff from that has me buzzing still. And yep. We will talk about that.
Yes, we will.
So I wanted to mention the new video game that's out.
Yes, Supernova.
Star Trek Prodigy Supernova, which is out on, well, by the time you listen to this, It's out right now. Right now. And it's a lot of fun. I've been playing it with my kids and they get a kick out of it. And it's actually a really good Trek game.
Uh-huh. Did you beat it yet?
No, I did not beat it yet. I do not have enough time for my turn on the Switch, you know, with 3 kids who love to game too. It's hard to, you know, claim your time. But we're almost done. I think it's like
difficult to win in 15-minute increments, huh?
Exactly. but we're loving it so far. It's really cute. It's really fun. It's definitely a kid's game, but yeah, as far as like difficulty level goes. But it's got a real Prodigy storyline. It's not just, you know, like a Star Trek skin on a generic game. And it's not like it actually has a plot, like a really good plot. They're making a book out of it, and I can see why now. Like there's enough there for a book, you know, and there's other tie-in things like outright games and the experience that my kids have with outright games is the Paw Patrol games. That was several years prior to this, you know. They're too old for that now. Yeah. But that was just like you walk around, and you collect bones, you know, because it's a game for, you know, 3-year-olds. Yep.
Get them young though.
Get them young. But this is a game that's much more age appropriate for, you know, for Prodigy watchers. And there's some really good puzzles, and my kids all really enjoy it, and I enjoy it, and we're having fun together. There's a really fun mode, a 2-player mode, and we've been having a great time with it. So it's got me moving at Warp 10.
That's cool. It's been a long time since I played a Star Trek video game. I played a bunch of the Star Trek video games that were out in the like late 90s, early 2000s, which obviously were adult-centric games. But it's been, I mean, aside from the long-running Star Trek Online and that everybody told me was terrible game based off of Star Trek 2009. I mean, it's been a really long time since we've had like a proper Star Trek video game, even one that, you know, is targeted at a younger audience. And we have Star Trek Resurgence coming now. I guess it was just delayed to spring of next year. So it's a nice little time for a renaissance of Star Trek gaming from the heady and halcyon days of Birth of the Federation and Armada and Elite Force. I'm excited about that. And hey, I mean, you know, this is sort of with the upcoming Prodigy action figures, which are still supposed to be coming out before the end of the year, as far as we know, and with the Prodigy books that are appearing early next year, finally starting to sort of get that integrated merchandising thing that we were sort of promised when the show first started. Yes. Early or late last year, and now is really starting to materialize, which is exciting because, you know, I'm sure that in the 6-month interim between Prodigy season 1A and 1B, like I remember what 6 months was like for a kid, that might as well have been 6 years in between them.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, it's good to have this kind of stuff available to keep people excited about it and keep kids excited about it, particularly for the wait in between episodes.
Yeah, my kids are really into it, and I'm ready to open my pocketbook up, you know.
Right.
I'll buy it and I'll buy it.
Yeah.
You know. So yeah, looking forward to the books and the action figures, and
or you'll fight people off in the in the case of the Mirth plushie that was given away at New York Comic Con, right? I heard reports that there you were sort of savagely beating people to make sure that you got enough for your kids.
It was a very civilized line. But there was a long line for Mirth, so yeah, that was fun. I was lucky enough to walk away with a Mirth. So.
All right, let me tell you what I'm feeling good about Star Trek this week, which is this week's most recent episode of Lower Decks, that being Crisis Point 2, Paradoxa. You know, Jen, that I am a huge fan of the first Crisis Point episode.
I love it.
Exactly. What's not to love about that particular episode of Star Trek Lower Decks? But I have to say, you know what they say about the sequels? They're not always good as the first time. And hey, sometimes they're not as good as the first time, and sometimes they're even better. And in the case of Crisis Point 2, Paradoxus, I actually really enjoyed the sequel. I mean, the movie jokes were deeper, and by virtue of being, because they did all of the really obvious ones in the first Crisis Point, but in some ways that made them more appealing, right? Like there was a Lurser and Bator parody, and a V'ger parody, and oh yes, the Malporan triplets or whatever they were called.
I am here for the Romulan boob window outfits.
Me too.
So
me
funny. Too. It's so funny.
I love a good boob window.
who doesn't?
But I thought it was just, I mean, in addition to obviously being a loving send-up of the 13 Star Trek movies, the second one that Lower Decks has done, it was also just a really great character episode for Boimler, particularly, and like really sort of landed the plane of, which, you know, as much as I love Generations, it didn't do a great job of, like, sort of basing a plot line in a really high quality way around a character who suffers a senseless loss in the family, and like, what does that mean for him, and what does that mean for his future, which I think Lower Decks did it much better than Generations did. Obviously Lower Decks with the death of William Boimler, Generations with the death of
my darling little sweet baby Renee.
Correct. Yeah. Yes.
Notice I didn't mention Robert.
Yeah, well, yeah. Fuck him.
Exactly.
So I thought it was just really well done. And, you know, I don't know that Crisis Point 3 would work, but hey, I am up for as many Crisis Points as Lower Decks is willing to give us, so to speak. And yeah, I thought this was a great episode. And there have been episodes of season 3 that I have not enjoyed a ton, but the episodes of season 3 that I have enjoyed, I have loved, and I'm excited for the last two episodes of the season. And Crisis Point 2, Paradoxus, another triumphant episode of Star Trek Lower Decks.
Yeah, it's actually my favorite episode so far of the season. I really enjoyed it. I thought it also worked well, you know, both as just a funny movie parody, but also the character things, even like obviously Boimler, but Tendi too. I thought there's some good moments there for her and Rutherford, you know, their friendship too. I thought that was really sweet how once he realized how important it was to her, he went with it. It was funny watching him just play it like you would play a holodeck game, you know, too. Like this, but one that you would play, you know, going through time and doing all this, and then let's get the punks outfits. You know, I thought it was really funny. You're right. The jokes were a little bit deeper cut, but I kind of like that too. I thought that was fun. That made it even more fun to me. And I like where they went with it for Boimler. And I agree with you about it being doing a better job than Generations did, not just because they walked back the death, but also because it was more for, like, Boimler kind of needed that lesson to grow. Picard didn't really need that lesson to grow, you know what I mean? So it was more like grief porn than, you know, working for as character development here. So, but it also did help that they walked back the death for me. But yeah, it was great. It was a good time. Knick-knack. That was funny. You know, like what they choose to parody,
yeah,
like especially in Crisis Point 1 and 2, like what the jokes that they pick. I mean, it's genius. I love Lower Decks so much. It's so fun. Yeah, it was a fun episode.
All right. Well, with that, let's turn to the week's top stories.
There's a war going on, and I'm a reporter.
Well, the Star Trek Universe panel at New York Comic Con this year served up news for Star Trek Picard, Star Trek Discovery, and Star Trek Prodigy. So let's discuss everything we learned, starting with Star Trek Picard. The full TNG cast appeared on stage in New York alongside Star Trek franchise showrunner Alex Kurtzman and Picard showrunner Terry Metalis, and began to pull back the veil on the upcoming third season. Most excitingly, a new trailer debuted at NYCC, featuring a look at some new and some returning characters.
Thank you.
Admiral.
I received a distress call from Beverly Crusher.
We are being hunted.
Who is it out there?
I don't know.
We must run.
From what?
Precise with your timing, Jean-Luc Picard.
Fire!
You should know that I now prefer pacifism to combat.
We're all gonna die.
They are blind to something big.
It will be what it always was. Attempts on your life.
Worf, Riker.
You broke them into this too?
I was once like her. Irrational, violent.
The Forge! Gun it! Stay inside!
Aye, sir.
There's a darkness on this ship. All consuming darkness.
I'll peck. And I'll jab. Everything that makes you, you.
We will scorch the earth under which he stands, and the night will brighten with the ashes of the Federation.
But first, we will have vengeance.
Fire everything we've got!
Greetings, old friend.
Yes, Moriarty, Lore, the Enterprise F, and a new villain played by Amanda Plummer. That's a lot to pack into one trailer. Yes, Amanda Plummer has been revealed as this season's villain. She will be playing Vadic, who is, quote, the mysterious alien captain of the Shrike, a warship that has set its sights on Jean-Luc Picard and his old crewmates from his days on the Enterprise. It was also revealed that Brent Spiner would be playing Data's evil android twin brother Lore, last seen in Descent Part 2. Though from the human appearance of Lore seen in the trailer, there's clearly more to that story. Brent Spiner on stage described it as very complicated. And Daniel Davis is reprising his role as Moriarty, which is a huge thrill for me because Elementary Dear Data and Ship in a Bottle are two of my favorite episodes of TNG. And if that wasn't enough, it was also revealed that Micah Barton, LeVar Burton's real-life daughter, and Ashley Sharp Chestnut will be playing Geordi LaForge's two daughters, Alandra and Sydney, the same names as LaForge's daughters in the alternate timeline from All Good Things. Star Trek Online fans also have had more to celebrate with the new Picard trailer, as the Enterprise F was revealed as matching the Odyssey-class Enterprise from the long-running video game. Jen, that's a lot of new information about Star Trek Picard Season 3. Obviously, I want to know your reaction to the trailer and everything we learned, but first off, you were in the room, full cast of The Next Generation, back on the stage. Who knows how many times we'll see them all back together in one place at the same time. What was that experience like?
It was very cathartic for everybody in the room. I mean, that when they opened it up to questions, the questions were all very emotional. Everybody was emotional seeing them all together. They seemed like they were emotional all being together again and talking about what they did in this season. And just seeing them all together was a really it was a really poignant experience. And I remember thinking I was glad I was wearing a mask so no one could see that I was bawling my eyes out. And then my kind friend who was sitting next to me handed me a tissue. I'm like, oh, I must not be hiding. And then I was crying, you know, everyone else was crying too. So it wasn't just me. But it was a very emotional experience. It was so wonderful just to see them all together and just their you know how they are, like joking around with each other and with the audience. And it was a family atmosphere. It was like a family reunion. It really, really was. And it was wonderful. And it was one of my favorite moments at a con, to be honest.
I'm sure.
Together, yeah.
Yeah. And you see that trailer for the first time. And obviously, because, you know,
yeah,
you'd seen the trailer before the trailer, but like, you know, you're in the room and most people are seeing it for the first time and boom, there's Moriarty and boom, there's Lore. I mean, what happens in the room when there's a moment like that?
Oh, yeah, I was going crazy. Yeah, during the whole trailer. Pretty much every, I mean, that's an action-packed trailer to begin.
Sure.
Even before the reveals of everything, you know, even just seeing like you know, Whitebeard Worf and you know and everyone. It was a wild time in the actual theater while they were showing it. It's great. It's a great trailer, and I mean, never in my wildest dreams did I think Moriarty.
I know.
that's my favorite Moriarty. Part. I'm so excited for that.
To me, that's one of those moments where I remember the first Star Trek Picard trailer from San Diego Comic-Con, and they played it, and I remember doing a weekly trek that night, and I can't remember who it was I had on. It might have been you, but and the reveal that Seven of Nine was in it, and it was, you know, one of those, like, who would ever in a million years have thought Seven of Nine was going to be in Star Trek Picard? Who ever in a million years would have thought that they were going to bring Daniel Davis back to play Moriarty in Star Trek Picard season 3, right?
Like, I love it.
I mean, clearly in a top five list of, you know, TNG, I don't want to say villains because I don't think Professor Moriarty and TNG is a villain, but like top five antagonists or, you know, adversaries.
Yeah, that's a better
word. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know, you know, I think we've become so accustomed now to Picard season 1 and Picard season 2 sort of leaning away from TNG nostalgia in a sort of really big way. I mean,
right.
1 more so than 2, but still 2 to an extent outside of Guinan and Q, that now for 3 to be like, yep, here it comes, Moriarty, Lore, you know, the TNG main characters back.
Yeah.
They pulled the names of Geordi LaForge's daughters directly out of All Good Things, right? Like, just even within what we've seen so far, the level of, like, TNG-ness of the whole thing, which, nom, 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 like, you know, feed me more, far as I'm concerned. It has been sort of a new and interesting experience. And, like, yeah, Moriarty.
Moriarty. I can't wait. It's so exciting. And Amanda Plummer?
Yeah, right.
What a delicious looking villain she is. I can't wait to hear more about her.
Yeah.
She looks amazing. And she seems like a movie villain.
Yes.
You know, like she's just that level of like gravitas of a villain. And so that's just what we're getting. We're just getting a 10 episode?
Yeah.
A 10 episode TNG movie is what it's gonna be, and I just can't wait. I'm just so excited. Looks great. So much in that trailer. I mean, pacifist Worf.
Yep.
What a great idea.
Yeah, right.
What a great direction to take him.
Yep.
I can't wait to hear more about Geordi and his daughters and see what's going on with, you know, Riker and Troy and Bev. And oh my gosh, it's just gonna be a joy the whole way through, you could just tell.
Well, and I have this theory which I'm going to expand on more at the end of the episode in relation to one specific aspect of the trailer, but I just kind of have this sneaking suspicion that like they are holding more cards in their back pocket, and that they are holding bigger cards in their back pocket, and that, you know, what we saw in that trailer is not the extent of the, you know, sort of surprises and reveals and cameos and legacy things that will appear in Picard season 3. And I think one of the reasons that I say that is there was a cameo that was going around that Daniel Davis had done in which he said he only did one day's worth of shooting on Picard season 3. So he's probably only in one episode, right? Like,
yeah.
And probably in a decent number of scenes, but like just one episode.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if he's just in one episode, then maybe they are, I mean, as much as I personally do not consider Professor Moriarty a small fish, potentially from a Star Trek Picard season 3 perspective, we have seen some very exciting, but nonetheless small fish, and that there are, and if the big fish is the TNG 7 and the small fish is Moriarty and maybe the Enterprise F, which we'll talk about at the end of the episode, like what are the medium fish in the middle? Mm-hmm. You know, like there was this big expectation, you know, everybody was like, oh, there's going to be a legacy character revealed at New York Comic Con and everyone, and there's some big, you know, TNG character who's coming back. And like everyone was like, oh yeah, Michelle Forbes is Ro Laren, right? Obvious. Right, right. And now we've seen Moriarty. It's like, oh, well, maybe that was actually Daniel Davis. But you know what? I mean, Terry Matala said in connection to the, like, there was this one big character he was desperate to have back. He has not yet said Moriarty was the character I was referring to when I said there was one that absolutely had to come back. And so maybe that's another character that we've not seen yet and is still being held back.
We've got 10 episodes to fill. There's plenty of time, plenty of right. room for more cameos. I don't see why there wouldn't be. I think, you know, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of time. Even if you do, you know, like, even if it's more like Picard going and visiting the legacy cast members, you know, like one by one.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I know.
Still at least three episodes.
I'm sure they're all going to be together, yes, but of course. I'm sure.
I mean, we see them together in the trailer.
Right. But I'm sure that there's going to be time for each one individually. Yeah. Even if you do that, even if they each get their own special episode.
Right. They all get an event.
Still going to be. You're right. Even if they all get an event, there's still going to be time for more. So. There probably will be more. And, you know, Terry Metalis probably threw as much as he possibly could into this. You can already tell that was the goal, was to make this just the ultimate TNG finale. So, yeah, I think that's a safe bet that there'll be more, that they're cards that they're holding closer to their chest until.
Yeah,
until the end. Exciting.
It is exciting. And I am a firm believer that February will be here before either of us know it.
I hope so. I can't wait.
Even though we are not expecting Star Trek Discovery Season 5 to premiere until after Strange New Worlds Season 2 next year, Discovery debuted an initial teaser trailer and gave some information about what to expect from the show's fifth season when it returns next year at New York Comic Con.
The greatest treasure in the known galaxy is out there. What are you waiting for?
Let's fly.
In addition to the trailer, Paramount released a short synopsis for Season 5, which reads, quote, in Star Trek Discovery's Season 5, Captain Burnham and the crew of the USS Discovery uncover a mystery that sends them on an epic adventure across the galaxy to find an ancient power whose very existence has been deliberately hidden for centuries. But there are others on the hunt as well, dangerous foes who are desperate to claim the prize for themselves and will stop at nothing to get it. Joining the Star Trek Discovery cast this season will be Callum Keith Rennie of Battlestar Galactica and Due South fame, who will be playing Captain Rayner. The Paramount press release describes Rayner as, quote, a gruff, smart Starfleet captain who holds a clear line between commander and crew. He leads, they follow. Rayner's all about the mission, whatever it may be, and he doesn't do niceties along the way. His feeling is you get the job done and apologize later. He has a storied track record of wartime success, but in times of peace, he struggles. Collaboration is not his strong suit. That's said, if it serves the greater good, he's willing to learn, but it won't be easy. That sounds like a Callum Keith Rennie character if ever I heard one. In addition, Eve Harlow is joining the cast as Mole, who is, quote, a former courier turned outlaw who is highly intelligent and dangerous with an impressive strategic mind and a sharp wit. She goes into every situation with a clear plan and stays focused and clear-headed on her goal, even when things go awry. She's not intimidated by Captain Burnham or the crew of the USS Discovery and will face down anyone who stands in her way in order to get what she wants. And last Lastly, for new cast additions, Elias Tufexis will play Lack, who is, quote, a former courier turned outlaw who is tough, impulsive, and fiercely protective of his beloved partner, Mole. So long as he knows she's safe, he doesn't care about collateral damage or its consequences, a perspective that makes him very dangerous at times and will put him on the opposite side of Captain Burnham and the crew of the USS Discovery when they come into conflict. Jen, the Star Trek Discovery panel promised this season would lean more into action and adventure than previous seasons of the show. How's that got you feeling about Star Trek Discovery season 5?
Oh yeah, I'm way into that. I'm here for treasure hunts and puzzle boxes. Like we saw in the trailer, that's definitely more my speed. I'm hoping that the stakes aren't too high. This treasure hunt. I think that'll be more fun for me, I think.
Yeah.
It looks good. I was impressed with the trailer. I'm excited for Callum Keith Rennie's character.
Yep.
He looks good with those pointed ears. I don't know if he's a Vulcan or a Romulan or what's happening, but I am here for that.
I didn't spot the pointed ears the first time I saw the picture. It was only when I was looking at it just before, and I was like, oh my God, he has pointed ears.
Yes, and they look good on him.
Yeah, okay. Settle down. Settle down. Settle down.
I'm glad to see David Cronenberg back in the trailer too. That's going to be fun. I love him. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun. And in the panel at Comic-Con, Sonequa Martin-Green wasn't there in person because she was filming up in Toronto. And even just her presence on screen just like lit up the entire room. She's an angel, you know? She's incredible. And she's just a bright, shining light. And she's great. And it was fun. You know, the Discovery cast, they just have, they have this feeling of family too. I mean, like I said, Next Generation too, but they also have a different type of tight knit group. And it's just really nice to see them interact together too. And I think the way they're talking about the season, it seems like a lot of characters are gonna come into their own a little bit more. So that's going to be interesting too. So yeah, can't wait to see where they go from there.
Yeah, I think the potential pivot in tone to doing something slightly different would be really welcome for the show, just because I've always thought it's a super talented cast. It's a super great set of characters, and they just have sort of needed the story that suits them best and gives them the ability to flourish a little bit. And you know, I thought season 4 was a little too heavy and repetitive of some of the previous kind of themes from seasons that they've done. And so this was nice and fun because you know, the trailer feels a bit light, a bit different. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with trying out new tones. I mean, especially, you know, Discovery is always going to have this thing where, because it is a serialized show and like they are clearly decided that is the structure of the show, it's serialized, it's one story over 10 episodes or 13 episodes or 14 or 15, depending on which season we're talking about, that, you know, they do sort of get locked into one. It's not like Strange New Worlds where you can have the like Gorn
a
episode
thing a week.
And, yeah, and then you can have Spock and Mock.
Love it. Yeah, it seems, just from watching the trailer and just hearing them talk at Comic-Con, it just seems like they're settling in to where they are in the Star Trek universe, like in the 31st century, like feels from that trailer that they've settled in, and there's no more like finding their way, finding their place. It feels like that they can move on and have like this type of action adventure treasure hunty kind of thing now, you know, because they are where they are, and hopefully grow a little bit there. And if the whole season is that, like, sounds good to me.
Yeah.
You know, if they want to do it's serialized, if it's a treasure hunt for 10 episodes, that could work, because that's like, you get a clue, then that leads you to your next clue, and then that leads you, you know, like that works. Like, I'm here for that. That I think that works well with their format. And so I'm looking forward to see what they do with that.
Oh, and I forgot. I completely buried the lead. I got a theory correct from a previous episode.
Ooh.
Because Mary Wiseman's back as Tilly.
Yes. Yes. That's great. That's good to hear, too.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, I love the character. I'm so glad she's back. And it sounds like she's back as a regular cast member, you know, not as the sort of special status that she had in season 4. And David Ajala will be returning as well as Book, so that's exciting too.
I'm glad to hear she talked a little bit about Book and Burnham's relationship. Someone asked a question where, you know, what was their status. And, you know, she said it was a, you know, Facebook, it's complicated type status. Yep. And, you know, it's like, so that'll be interesting to see, because I like that. I really, really like them together.
Yeah.
So I'm interested. I'm very glad to hear that he's coming back and there'll be some more of Book Burn or Burn Book or whatever we decide their ship name is.
Switching gears to the next Star Trek show on the release schedule, Star Trek Prodigy is gearing up for Season 1B, which will premiere on October 27th. To whet your appetite for the remainder of Season 1, NYCC debuted a new trailer.
Captain's Log 61209.5. It's been weeks since leaving Tars Lamora for good. That dream of finding a place where we can be accepted is becoming real.
We want to join Starfleet!
I suppose they just handed you kiddos a free starship.
We actually stole it.
Whoever stole the protostar must be stopped.
Get us out of here!
The real me is hunting us. Good luck with that.
So we're not going to Starfleet.
As long as we have the protostar, we can still help others.
This is so exciting!
You saved me.
I will not rest until your memories return.
Who is this specimen?
You know where I came from?
Not where,
but who.
We may not be ready for Starfleet, but we're ready to take your orders, Captain.
Plot a course.
Who are these kids?
Gwyn, look at me. What is it?
I remember everything.
The new trailer has a lot of fun looks at the episodes ahead, including a Denobulan Starfleet lieutenant, Admiral Janeway, the USS Dauntless, and more. In addition to the trailer, the Prodigy team also announced that Ronnie Cox would be reprising his role as Edward Jellicoe, now a Starfleet Admiral, in Prodigy, and released a still of Admiral Jellicoe from an upcoming episode. Jen, we'll just lay our cards on the table up front and confess that we need to be a little bit careful about what we say about the back half of Prodigy's first season, because we might have seen a smidge of it. But tell me, from the perspective of your kids, how much were they looking forward to the return of Star Trek Prodigy's back half of season one?
Well, like you said, 6 months is a long time in kidverse, and they were really, really excited to hear that there was more Prodigy coming up. There's some really good plot threads that we have dangling, and, you know, I can't, you know, say too much because you're right. I have seen a smidge of it, but everyone should be looking forward to this new season of Prodigy. I'll just put it that way. Even with Admiral Killjoy coming aboard, which I think is a great idea.
Me too.
Even, you know, I love to hate Jellicoe so much. So I'm very excited to see him and to hear he's reoccurring. That's interesting. That's interesting. And we already know Akona is going to be in it. And and there's a lot to look forward to with Prodigy.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of like things that we do know, right? Admiral Janeway, USS Dauntless, now Admiral Jellicoe.
Admiral Killjoy.
Yeah. I really want a Admiral Janeway versus Admiral Jellicoe duke it out scene.
Oh, I'd love that.
At some point during the season. I mean, come on, you can't bring those two characters together and not have them face off.
I'd love her to take him down a peg. Yeah. That's what I would hope would happen.
Exactly. Full on William T. Riker style.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah.
But maybe a bit less bratty.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Janeway and Riker do have a similar stubborn streak.
Yes.
And that's why they're both good against Jellicoe, who is very much my way or the highway type of admiral. So I think that's it's a good personality clash for them to butt up against each other. Yeah, that'll be fun to see.
And you are not on Team Jellicoe from the way that you have just described him.
I'm not a fan. He's a big buzzkill, but but in a good in a way that I'm very fun, you know, very fun to watch and love to hate Jellicoe.
Yes.
I'll put it that way.
And Ronny Cox certainly seems very excited to be back. I actually heard like a year ago that at a convention during photo ops, he had been excitedly telling people who were wearing Star Trek costumes that he had just recorded a voice role in one of the upcoming Star Trek animated shows. Yeah. So, and I'm surprised
he gave
that
it
one.
Away.
Yeah. And I'm surprised it didn't end up. Somebody who was at that convention who had that experience told me about that it never, it never kind of broke wider.
Yeah. Because the Akona one broke.
Because Billy Campbell said he'd done a Star
Trek. And we're like,
broke, right? Like, those were like roughly around the same time, I think, you know, last year too.
Both
were like, oh, yeah, we just did a Star Trek. And of course, we were like, oh, Billy Campbell and Licia Knapp, two Star Trek The Next Generation season two guest stars that nobody remembers from largely terrible episodes doing voice roles in animated Star Trek. I'll eat my hat if that ends up being true.
I will defend the outrageous Akona to the death. I unironically enjoy that episode. So we can have that argument another time, I guess.
The comedian. Good Lord.
Oh, come on. It's funny. It's funny. Admit it. No, Billy Campbell, it was great in that, and I'm looking forward to seeing an older Akona interacting with our dear prodigy crew. So, should be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, and we are looking forward to it, and for fear of saying something we shouldn't, that's where we'll move on to the next story on the roster. Well, and lastly this week, Star Trek Comics publisher IDW have announced a second ongoing Star Trek comic that will join the Sisko-centric Star Trek and will be set in the same continuity. Star Trek Defiant will be a war-focused story that spins off from the main Star Trek line. The synopsis for the series reads, quote, "In Defiant, someone is killing the gods. But while Benjamin Sisko and the USS Theseus have been facing the threats in the higher cosmos, very real casualties are growing on lower ground. The true enemy is a man, not a god, and Worf House of Martok has put together his own crew aboard the USS Defiant in the hopes of defeating the dangerous messiah behind a genocidal cult." In addition to Worf, the cover for issue one features Rolaren, Spock, and Lore, and I have to wonder whether the decision to include Lore is connected to his upcoming appearance in Star Trek Picard Season 3. Star Trek Defiant will be written by Chris Cantwell, whose recent run on Iron Man I really enjoyed, with art by Angel Unzueta. Speaking about the launch of two ongoing comics with no predetermined endpoint, IDW Star Trek senior editor Heather Antos said, quote, "Just when you thought Star Trek comics couldn't get any bigger, we're continuing to boldly explore new frontiers. Between the flagship title and Defiant, it's safe to say we have comics' biggest Trek fans, Lansing, Kelly, Cantwell, Rosanis, and Unzueta themselves, crafting what is going to be Star Trek's biggest and boldest interconnected comic story ever, and this is only just the beginning." Jen, I know you're not much of a comics person, but does any of this capture your interest?
I mean, I'm very happy for all the comic book fans. I'm the wrong person to talk about this stuff because I don't read too many comic books. But it's what a wacky out there group of characters to put together. That's fun. That's a lot of fun. I like that. And I mean, what is it? Sisko's coming back?
Yep.
Gosh, you got to be there for that. And again, I don't know what time period these.
I think they're supposed to be set after Endgame, before Nemesis.
Okay. Oh, that's an interesting.
Yes. Because the other title, the Sisko title, has Data in it.
Oh,
and
gotcha.
That it's before Data. So it's sort of like, I guess, the conceit for Star Trek and now Star Trek Defiant. Is that they're like, and you know I'm a fan of this, they're like team-ups of characters from the different shows, right? So like Sisko, we know, has Sisko, Crusher, Data, Tom Paris, and Defiant, we now know, has Worf, Lore, Spock, and Rolaren, right? And like, that's cool. Like, I like the Star Trek comics are doing something where they're mixing together
doing
characters that you're never going to see on screen.
Yeah, it's got that feeling of like you pick your dream Star Trek crew from any era.
Right.
You know, what do you come up with? You come up with some great combinations. I'd love to see those characters interact with each other. That's great. Yeah, and I like it. I haven't, the comic book, I read the Lower Decks comic.
Yes. I haven't read that yet. Was that good?
Yeah, it's really fun. It's like it's very. I find it very relaxing.
Yeah,
I think I might try to pick up some more comics.
Okay, is Ross giving you advice about which ones to get?
I got him the variant cover for the Lower Decks one that was at the Comic-Con. Yep. Yeah. So I was at the IDW booth and I was, you know, looking at everything they had there. And they also mentioned that they're going to come out with a prequel to Star Trek Resurgence.
Yes, featuring Leia Brahms.
That I'm getting because I'm very interested in Resurgence and I want to know everything. So So I'm going to be picking that one up for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited about that too. Again, another like, when was the last time you got a video game tie-in, you know, like cross-platform Star Trek thing? I mean, that's super, super cool.
That is cool.
Plus it's Leia Brahms. Plus it's the Centaur class, which is one of my favorite, like weird Star Trek ships that you only saw just once. I'm a Centaur ride or die kind of guy.
I love it.
Yeah. But yeah, this is cool. I like that they're doing something experimental. I like that it's ongoing and it's not like a 6-issue miniseries. And I've said this before, I like that it's not the TNG Mirror Universe one, which is kind of played out. And also, not just to say bad things about IDW Star Trek comics, because I'm really excited for these and I think they're going to be really good. They did do a Star Trek team-up comic a couple of years ago that was like the different crews all interacting with each other. And it was terrible. So do not bother buying that one. As much as you might be tempted, that's one to skip. Russ will give you better suggestions of ones to enjoy.
Yeah. Okay, sounds good.
All right, well, we've talked about the facts, and now let's speculate on what's going to happen in the future of Star Trek.
You make some very good points, Captain, but it's still all speculation and theory.
So each week, my guest and I give you a wish or theory we're nurturing about any of the shows or the future of the franchise. So Jen, let's hear your theory or wish for this week.
Okay, so this is kind of a wish slash theory.
Okay,
and
a doubleheader.
It's a doubleheader, yeah. Yep. But it involves potential legacy character returns.
Interesting. Okay.
So I've got two.
Yep.
Okay. Go so for the first one is Picard season 3.
Yes.
So at Comic-Con, somebody asked a really smart question.
Give me the inside scoop.
They asked, you know, they said how, you know, with Dr. McCoy and Quark and how there was always like someone to, you know, to like pass the torch.
Yes.
To the next show. And the person asks, will there be a moment like that in Picard season 3? And our dear, lovely friend, Terry Metalis, with no hesitation, just said yes. Right away, just yes. Mm. So I was like, ooh. Everyone kind of gasped at that. You know, because it wasn't even just like, oh, maybe. You'll have to wait and see. He was like,
yep.
You know, right in the microphone. Yes. So it was okay. So there's going to be something. And what, you know, what's going to be? It's got to be something in the era.
Yes.
The show. And I was thinking about what that might be. And this is a wish / theory that somehow they might run into a Captain Ezri Dax. It could be, you know,
there could be
a reason because what's going to, you know, we don't know what the next show is, but
yep.
Because, you know, you can see it because we're going to have Seven might be involved in it, you know, but who, like, if it's, is it going to be the Starfleet? Is it going to be whatever, you know?
Yep.
But can't be anything from the shows that are already on. But then it has to be someone we know because passing the torch, even though it's passing the torch, it wouldn't mean anything if it wasn't. If it was just like a new character, like in a, you know, like a Starfleet Academy or series or whatever.
Yep.
So I was thinking, who do we know who's still around and isn't part of TNG, you know, who's part of the show?
And he has said there will be a, like, there are Deep Space Nine connections in Picard season 3, and but is not elaborated upon that, and nothing we have seen so far has yet been like, yep, that's the Deep Space Nine connection he was referring to.
Yeah, so that's my wish / I'm considering these theories just because I want them to be true.
Sure.
That's who I would want to see.
No, I mean, that's totally that is totally fair as a theory based on the evidence that he said there are explicit Deep Space Nine connections. He's been asked that several times now around, we've not got much Deep Space Nine stuff, and he's obviously not been like, yes, it's an explicit mention, or yes, it's a legacy character, but like, he has indicated it is more than just like printed on a screen somewhere. It will say the words Deep Space Nine and that will be all you, or like, you know, pan down on Free Cloud and there's a Quark's bar in the background,
right?
Like, he has sort of very heavily implied it would be more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Has also talked about a variety of legacy actors and has said, I believe in I think it was in the Inglourious Trekspert's interview, that there will be not just legacy characters from the Next Generation who make an appearance in Picard season 3. So like a Voyager character, a Deep Space Nine character, mm-hmm. a something that's not just a TNG character. And my head, when he first said that, initially went to Colomini, and then he said Colomini is not in Picard season 3. That's, so like set him aside.
Same thing, yeah.
Yeah. So like, okay, who else could it be? Well, I mean, Armin Shimerman said he's not coming back to, you know, like he'll do the animated stuff with the teeth in, but he's not going to do the makeup, right? Nanar Visitor, maybe, you know, potentially.
Yeah.
But they did just bring her back in Lower Decks. And, you know, it feels like they would be smart enough not to like do too much kind of, you know, repeating the same beats, even though they've done that a fair amount. So like, you and I'm like, Michael Dorn's already there, right? I mean, so you're sort of left with, potential characters would be Nicole DeBoer, Esri Dax, Alexander Siddig, Julian Bashir. Yeah. Renee's no longer with us.
He would be on the same ship as his wife, Esri.
Right, sure, absolutely. Yep, if you were one of the people who believe that their relationship continued beyond the end of What You Leave Behind, sure, absolutely he would be.
I'm just trying to get more,
yeah, more
cameos
tonight.
In,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, yeah. And like, that's it from sort of the main cast, right? You're sort of just down to, if it's not Colomini, if it's not Avery Brooks, which it wouldn't be, if it's not Armin Shimerman, if it's not René Auberjonois, if it's not Aaron Eisenberg, it's Alexander Siddig, it's Nanar Visitor, or it's Nicole DeBoer. Like, take your pick of one of the three, unless they're going to a more secondary character, like Surratt Lofton, potentially.
Yes.
So yeah, I think there's a high probability of that. And they have also shown that they are not shy about borrowing concepts from the books and kind of doing their own spin on it within the TV show. Discovery's done that a bunch. Picard has even done that a little bit. And so, like, here we are again, potentially seeing, you know, Captain Esri Dax being a thing that was in the books. You know, this sort of idea that once she became comfortable with the Dax symbiont, it was like, no, I'm a Dax. I'm not a young, scared person. I've actually got now 8 lifetimes living within me, and I'm ready to go, and I want to go up the ranks, and I want to be a captain, and then does that very quickly. Like, that is an absolutely perfectly fair character arc for Esri from the end of Deep Space Nine through to the 20-some years later that it is today in the Picard timeline. So yeah, I'm totally on board with that. Totally on board.
I've got one more.
Okay, go for
and
it.
And this one's way more into the Wish side.
All right.
I'm tipping the scales.
All right.
Towards the Wish. Okay.
Tell me your deepest desires.
My deepest deepest Star Trek desires.
Yes.
Okay, so we did get to talk about Crisis Point 2.
Yes.
Paradoxus. And we
big
we just
Crisis Point fan.
Me too. We just skimmed over the ending, the William Boimler
yes.
teaser at the end there.
If we're a secret organization, why do we have a badge?
We have a badge.
You could perfect. Always go back to being dead. Love the badge.
Perfect. Perfect. But it's also perfect that somebody that they made canon for somebody, the fate of Trip Tucker in the novels.
Oh, yes.
Which
okay.
Is,
yes.
Made
yep.
me
yep.
so happy.
Yep. So, I had not even thought about that, Jen.
Oh,
yes.
My God. And it
God, talk about having Trip Tucker on the brain all the time.
Right?
Jesus Christ.
I mean, my mind went there right away. But it's not too far of a stretch then to think that maybe we could have Connor Trinneer voice Trip Tucker and make that canon for him too.
Yes.
It's really not that it wouldn't be you would just need one line to just excuse the time travel thing. Like, you got a time travel lot in Section 31. That's why I'm here, you know?
You wouldn't even need it. You know what they could do? So it's a future episode of Lower Decks, and they're at Section 31 headquarters, whatever and wherever that is, right? And they're like walking down a corridor, and it's the like portraits of noted luminary
yeah.
you know, like former Section 31 agents, and there's Sloan, and there's a boat. And there's someone yeah. you've never seen before, and then there's just Trip Tucker.
Trip Tucker, yes.
And that's all you would need.
But I also want his voice. I want to
oh,
get
sure.
Connor.
Yes.
Yeah. Want, no, I want no. it confirmed. Yes. Yes, I want Connor Trinneer.
I know what you want.
Yes, you know. I want me some more Trip Tucker. That's what I want. Trip Tucker sprinkles all over my lower decks.
All right, this is getting disgusting.
But no, wouldn't that be fun? I think that would be
yes,
I
that
think
would
be
fun.
Legitimately
yes.
a fun
yes.
way to bring him in back into Star Trek.
Yes,
and to do some justice for that character.
Yes.
But even if they don't do that, like, I'm just very thrilled that fate for somebody was made a canon Star Trek thing. Yes. It's really cool.
I'm a little weirded out by the Trip Tucker Sprinkles comment. I'm not going to lie.
We're moving on,
and we're not going to dwell on it.
No, that's a Boimler. Remember Boimler said that someone, what did he say? Was it Jim Kirk Sunday with Trip Tucker Sprinkles?
I didn't make that up.
Yeah.
But I will assume that you are desperately trying to rescue your modesty.
It's a lower Decks reference.
Of course it is. Of course. All right, let me tell you, before this podcast degenerates too much further, let me tell you Trip Tucker Sprinkles. Let me tell you my theory. Which is also a Star Trek Picard theory.
Okay, let's hear it.
And basically, it's this. I think we've seen about as much of the Enterprise F as we're going to in Star Trek Picard Season 3 in the second and a half that we got in the trailer. First of all, I will begin by saying this. I am extremely excited for you if you were a fan of the Enterprise F from Star Trek Online that it is appearing in Star Trek Picard. And I am thrilled and over the moon for the designers and the creators of the Enterprise F for all of the hard work they put in and being able to see their hard work pay off and show up on screen. I am over the moon for you in a way that I cannot even begin to describe. What I also cannot even begin to describe is how much I dislike the Enterprise F design as a whole. It's just not for me. That's okay. It's just never really vibed with me. I've always had a bit of a chip on my shoulder about Star Trek Online fans who are like, it is the continuation of the story of Star Trek. And it's kind of wrapped up in that for me. It's my problem. I know, but like, I just don't like it. I never really have. And I sort of feel a little bit cheated that with Doug Drexler and John Eves back on a Star Trek show, we could have had one more Doug Drexler, John Eves Enterprise design, and we didn't get it. We got the Enterprise F instead from Star Trek Online. All of that being said, my sense of this season is that this is not an Enterprise season, that this is a Titan A season, and that there might be other Enterprises, right? Like the rumor that's been circling around for a long time about, you know, potentially seeing the Enterprise D. The rumor that's been circling around about there being multiple Enterprises included within the season. And my very strong suspicion that I talked about earlier about how this trailer did not give you the goods. It gave you things to get you excited, but that aren't really kind of spoiling much about the story of the season. I think the appearance of the Enterprise is a punch the air, like fanfare swells, music goes, here's the Enterprise type moment. And that's the kind of thing that you don't put in a trailer, in my opinion. Now, I might be wrong. My sense of what's happening, because there's two shots that are relevant. The first shot is obviously the shot with the Enterprise F, right? That's number one. The second shot that's relevant, I think, from the trailer is the shot of Space Dock. If you pause on it, as of course I have and gone frame by frame, because I am a weirdo loser with a poison brain like that. You have Space Dock, and then you have a number of other ships arranged around Space Dock, and you have fireworks going off. And so my theory is that one of two things are happening. I know which I would prefer it to be, but one of two things are happening. This is either, in my preference, the decommissioning ceremony for the Enterprise F. It's 25 years since Star Trek Nemesis. The Enterprise E had an amazing 10-year run and it blew up, and then they commissioned the F and it's had a 15-year run and now it's ready to be retired and it's returning home from its triumphant mission to the fanfare of Starfleet. The flagship returns, you know, and then at the end of the season, they will unveil the Enterprise G, and maybe that one has been designed by our luminary Star Trek designers, and that's the one that's going to be the big, like, new Enterprise type moment, because it will be a whole new design that we've never seen before. The other alternative is that this is the commissioning ceremony for the Enterprise F, right? The E had a long career at a TOS Constitution class Enterprise 1701 type career of anywhere between 20 and 40 years, depending upon which source from canon you ultimately want to draw that number from. And the Enterprise E has its decommissioning ceremony, and the Enterprise F kind of passes it on the way out and it's off into space. But because it's not an Enterprise season, like maybe it shows up in the season finale for a save the day moment, but like this is not an Enterprise show. That's not what they've set it up to be. And I think we will get a glimpse of the Enterprise F, but I don't think we're going to see all that much more than what we have seen in the trailer. I think it's going to be a Daniel Davis style appearance. He had one day of filming. The Enterprise F is going to get 30 seconds worth of screen time, and then there are more exciting things still to come. Jen, that is my theory. What do you think?
Hey, I think that's a great theory. I think you're combining a wish and a theory too, though. Sure. Just because you don't like it.
Well, yes. Yes. But it's my show, Jen, and I can do whatever I want to.
Absolutely. I've got no problem with that. Yeah, no, it's not my favorite design too. Meanwhile, I am all in on the Titan A. I love the Titan A.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's the Titan A season, so... When is there going to be a lot of time for Enterprise F stuff anyway? So you're probably right. It probably is just a chip cameo type deal. So yeah, you're probably right. But we'll see.
So there we go. That is my that's my soapbox moment about the Enterprise F, and we'll see what ends up. And again, if you love the design, I love that you love the design. I'm never going to be somebody who is like, because I don't like something, you shouldn't like it either. I love all the excitement I've been seeing about the Enterprise F online and on Twitter. It's not for me. We'll see what happens. There's a lot of season left to go and lots of fun stuff coming up for everybody to enjoy. So that's my feelings about the Enterprise F and Star Trek Picard as a whole. Do you have a theory or a wish for Discovery, Picard, Strange New Worlds, Lower Decks, or Prodigy that you'd like to share? Tweet them to me at Weekly Trek or email them to me at weeklytrek@thetricordertransmissions.com, and I might feature your theory in a future episode. Well, that's all the time we've got for this episode of Weekly Trek. Thank you so much to my guest, Jen Tift, for joining me today. Jen, how can people contact you if they want to continue the conversation?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Ida Quarks, and my podcast is Snap Trek. And also, I'll be reviewing Prodigy for TrekCore.com starting on October 27th.
Yes, we will actually have reviews going up the same day. So we'll see who's end up getting the higher number of views, whether it's my review of Star Trek Lower Decks Season 3 or your review of Prodigy 1B.
Yeah, a season finale and a season opener. Yep, interesting.
Yep. We'll see who the internet likes more, whether it's you or me. I already know the answer to that question.
It's not a contest.
It's always a contest.
We're all winners. There's two episodes of Star Trek coming out on the same damn day.
Very true, but I'm only reviewing one of them, so
right. Sure.
And you can find this show on Twitter at Weekly Trek and me at Alexander T. Perry. And if you enjoy the show, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on your podcast player of choice. And please check out some of the other great shows on the Tricorder Transmissions. And if you like our shows, please also consider becoming a Patreon of Tricorder, which you can find at patreon.com/thetricordertransmissions. And lastly, if you're looking for Star Trek news on the internet, I hope you will turn to TrekCore.com. Well, thank you, Jen. Thank you to all of my listeners. And until next week, live long and prosper.